Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Hi again, Steve Warren here, and we have, we have fashion this week. We're just going to be so extraordinarily well decked out because we have Milan Breton who's here. And we met Milan back in Grand Central Station when they had the Taiwan Festival as part of the 100th anniversary of Grand Central. And you presented a fashion fireworks.
Oh, thank
for
you.
Both men and women. It's nice to see you again.
Nice to see you as well. Thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit. First of all, let our audience in on some of the secrets. They see the name Milan Breton. They don't automatically think Taiwan.
Oh, I understand. I've been very public about coming from Taiwan since I was on television, actually. I did a reality show in 2006 that was called Project Runway. And I, at the time, I made it very much a point to be very open about, you know, coming from Taipei and all that. And so it was very important to me to be in the media in that capacity.
When you were young, what was your life like in Taipei? How did you end up being there, your family and stuff during those early years? What's their background?
My
as well?
Father is from there, actually, and he's Taiwanese and French. And my mother's from Europe. Mm-hmm. And so it was basically they met there, and then, you know, I came about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was I had a very interesting upbringing because I had the opportunity to experience the Asian as well as the European. And so it was very interesting for me. Very interesting.
When did fashion design turn your head? I understand quite young, 11 years old.
I was about 11 years old when I just became fascinated with fabric and became fascinated with like textiles and textures and things like that. And I started sort of playing with different things, the smallest things I could find, like curtains or you know, different elements that I would drape on myself, or like, you know, I would sketch as well too, and I was doing a lot of that as a young boy.
Was it more the love of fabric and those textures from an art perspective or from a clothing perspective?
You know what, it was a combination of both. I would say probably it had a lot to do with the possibilities of sort of creating fabric into sculpture. And I've always been fascinated by sculpture, and I've always been fascinated by architecture. And even in my work now, you see it. And a lot of the Asian architecture actually inspires a lot of my work. And so I wanted to kind of see where my mind could take fabric that wasn't conventional and kind of give it a new twist.
When you were little, what was the first piece of clothing that you made?
The first piece of clothing that I made, I made something for my grandmom when I was very young, actually. I was probably about 11 and a half, and very poorly made.
Did she wear it? Was it?
No. It was actually a little, I made her a sundress that was like 18 sizes too small, and I thought it would be so lovely on her, and she was very kind about it, and she said, oh, this is fantastic. And then she said, well, you should show me what you've been sketching. And I showed her my sketches, and she was so excited and very receptive to that, and it was very nice. I miss her. She was a very big support in my career.
Did you take away anything from your formal schooling, grade school, elementary school, high school, that you carried forward? Because many people find those years, those schooling years, to be quite mundane, and they don't really get any sense until they get on into graduate school or college or university. And so I'm wondering what in your educational background when you were young?
I probably would say educationally, the things that I use in my creation now probably come more so from the conservatories I went to and things. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, when I came to New York, I went to Juilliard. And so I've always been surrounded by musicians and actors and performers and things like that. And I try to incorporate that into my shows. You didn't see much of that at the show at Grand Central because it was a much more compact show. But
right.
Generally, I'll have like New York City Ballet involved in my shows, or I've had a 65-piece orchestra play my show before. I've had Bollywood dancers.
A bit of everything.
I mean, I like to create sort of environments, you know, with the idea that all of my friends who are these artisans can all be participate and be inspired by the work, because I believe that, you know, what I do comes from inspiration of other artists and other people that create music and you know, paintings and film and all these beautiful like architecture, things like that. I find so much inspiration from them, and I think it's important that we feed off of each other.
Our guest on Spectrum this week is Melan Breton, fashion designer. You're such a multimedia guy. You're such a multimedia person. I'm going to just mention a media, and you tell me your involvement in
All right. Okay.
For one, we know for sure you've done some work with Jerry Mitchell on Broadway.
Well, I dressed Jerry Mitchell for the Tony Awards, for the night that he won the Tony Awards, and that was a lovely, lovely, lovely experience. I had been a volunteer for Broadway Bears for about 15 years, and so I asked him if he would be interested in my dressing him for the Tonys, and he did, and he won that night, which was fantastic.
And they also, Jerry, who are you wearing?
I know. And
let's so go to lovely. Television. You've had some marvelous experience in television in a variety of capacities.
Yeah.
With Minute to Win It and among others. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I created the costumes for Minute to Win It, the game show on NBC. I also brought to their attention, there was a Taiwanese model that was on the show named Ali Wang, and who was a very good friend of mine who I brought to their attention, who they hired as one of the hostesses for the show as well. And she's from Taiwan also. And then I've also had my own show on Bravo called The Milan Show. I've had a show, I've done Project Runway, Australia's Next Top Model, been guests on CBS, NBC, Today Show, all those shows. And then I've also done production. I was an executive producer on The Milan Show, and I've executive produced some other spots as well.
And radio voiceovers, which is my bailiwick. You've done that as well.
I was a voice for ESPN's Extreme Sports. I was Banana Republic, Sotheby's. I've done lots of different spots for different people.
Now, you've got Fashion Week. Well, you've got a couple of Fashion Weeks in different cities that you deal with. I presume a rigorous schedule to keep up to date and keep fresh.
It's intense. It's intense. But I think the thing that keeps me going and inspires me is the fact that I'm constantly in new environments. Because I think when you're constantly moving, you're constantly inspired. And I think that's what I'm able to use every season to create the work that I do.
You divide your time between New York and Paris.
Well, I've been spending a lot more time in New York lately, actually. Mm-hmm. I've been doing a lot more work here with the collection, and I've been doing some film work recently as well. So,
is there really a fashion capital of the world, or does it depend on the eye of the beholder? I mean, there are those who swear by London, some swear by Paris, some swear by New York. I mean, what's your take?
You know, I think with the advent of the internet and you know, web broadcasting, things like that, I think there really is no true fashion capital. I think the capital of fashion is the world now. You know, it's become so diverse. And I think now, you know, we used to say that Paris was all about couture and America was all about sportswear and London was all about suiting and all the other. And it's become so, each market has kind of intertwined itself. So there's really no fashion capital any longer.
Well, that's kind of good to know. That gives everybody a chance. They don't have to buy a ticket for Paris as soon as they get their first design on board. Tell me what the future is. You're going to just keep doing the shows, the fashion? You have some other...
Well, I'm doing fashion. I have a movie coming up next year that I'm actually acting in. I used to be an actor.
Oh, wow.
And so
apparently you still are.
Yeah, still. But I'm doing this film. I've actually got a couple of other projects as well. I've been offered a show on the West End in London, and you know, some other things. So, and I'll definitely continue with the men's and women's fashion and working on some licenses and things also.
If people want to know more about you, your background, to take a look at your menswear, your womenswear, where can they go? What's your
if
best
they would
website?
Like that, they can go to www.malanbreton.com.
That's MalanBreton.com. Great. I want to find out a couple more things before we leave. I noticed in a little piece of your bio that you had done a film with Celeste Holm.
Yeah, she's such a lovely woman. I had the opportunity to meet her first through a dear friend of mine named Michael Feinstein. Had taken me to an event at something they call it I get what it's called. It's with Jim Caruso. It's on Monday nights at Birdland. And Michael Feinstein and Jim Caruso are very close. And Celeste was there, actually, that night. And I sang, and she sang. And there were a couple of other people that were there performing. Liza was there, and she sang. And I had the chance to meet her. And then a few months after that, I was offered the role in the film. Got a chance to work with her. She's such a lovely, lovely woman. I truly miss her.
So what do you do when you're not with your pins and needles and sewing machines and design boards and stuff?
You know, if I'm not creating fashion or if I'm not working in one of the other genres, I'm very much an outdoors person. I love nature. I find a lot of inspiration from nature, and I love food. I'm a big foodie, so I really enjoy restaurants and things like that. My favorite food, I would probably say, is a combination of... I love Chinese food. I love French.
Of course. Yeah, anything, right?
Exactly. And I'm a huge fan of, like... I mean, I like food from all areas of the world, you know? I mean, I love food from Morocco. I mean, I've had a chance to go to so many, you know, different countries that I've had the chance to experience so much, so many different cuisines. And so it's been, I enjoy quite a bit, you know. The only food that I'm not really truly fond of are like the blander foods, like some of the English foods.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the Polish foods, things.
Yeah, when you look up bland food in the dictionary, it has a map of England right next to it. Our guest is Melan Breton, and a great fashion designer. You've got extraordinary taste and some curiously unusual looks for some people, for some of the items. When people look back on your body of work, what would you like them to think about what you've done?
You know what, I would hope that if people look back at the body of my work, I would hope that they would say that I gave them options, you know? I mean, I think when I first created menswear, there weren't a lot of options for men. There wasn't a lot of color. The silhouettes were very, like, the same, you know. And now everyone's embracing color, and men are, like, the new major shoppers of stores, where women have kind of taken a back step. And so it's interesting. It's very interesting to me. I mean, I think that... And I would like for people to also be inspired, you know. I mean, to kind of... be inspired to believe that anything is possible.
Great. Well, I appreciate your taking the time to meet with us in your extremely busy schedule. Have a great fashion week.
Thank you.
Which actually for you morphs into fashion month, fashion
exactly.
Fashion life.
Exactly.
But thanks for joining us on China America Radio. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Join us every weekend for Spectrum on China America Radio. A weekly public service program featuring news, information, lifestyle experiences, and stories of interest to our listeners in the United States and around the world. If you have suggestions for future topics or guests to be featured on an upcoming Spectrum program, send them to us at programming@chinaamericaradio.com.